Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Two Guys, Three Consoles podcast. My name is Matt Leach, also known as Leachman, and with me as always is my co-host, Jeremy J. Monster Fowler. How are you doing, Jeremy?
Hello, everyone. Not so bad. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Another week of discussion about gaming, so that's good.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us and listening.
Yeah, we're enjoying making these podcasts, and we're not, I suppose. But no, it's still really good to get together every week and chew the fat about what we've been up to and what we like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think we'll jump straight into it. Gaming news, I'll let you go first.
Okay, so Nintendo are discontinuing the gold points that they have on the eShop, which is where you get money back for spending money on the eShop. But also, I think you can get some points from physical at the moment. If you buy a physical game
on there, yeah, there you can.
Yeah, yeah. I think you get less from physical than you do from digital, but you do still get some. They're also going to be discontinuing their game vouchers scheme, which is where you pay, I mean, in the UK it's £84, but you get two games.
Right.
And I think even their top, like, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, that was £70, I think that even that's included in that scheme. So if you pay your £84, you get Tears of the Kingdom, and then in theory you're getting the second game for £14.
Wow.
So it's pretty good. I haven't actually used it, but no. Both of them are being discontinued sort of pre-launch of the Switch 2.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think with the gold points, you've got like a year or so to cash them in. So there's like a date in March when they stop giving them. But yeah, if you've got some, you can still cash them in for a year after that date.
I think I have got some, you know. I need to go back and check my Nintendo Online account and see what I've got, because I should probably cash them in, shouldn't I?
Yeah. They didn't really give a reason why.
No, they didn't really give a reason why, other than they're just discontinuing them.
Yeah.
I can only think it's something to do with either the admin of it, or maybe they're releasing some new scheme. Some new scheme when the Switch 2 launches, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems likely, doesn't it? But yeah, spend those gold points if you got them.
Yeah. I mean, I think you get about £3 off if it's a full price game that you've bought normally. So if I have got some, it's not going to be masses, but I'll have to look how much I've got. But like I say, you've still got a year to spend them after the date goes by, so...
Yeah, so
it could be worse.
It could definitely be worse. Well, my bit of news is, though it's about a week old, this news, so I thought it was worth mentioning, is the day they announced Days Gone Remastered on PlayStation 5, which I found surprising, because I did play that game. I did play it as well, but I'm surprised they announced a remaster, whether there's enough people out there who even remember it to give it the time to play a remaster, maybe. Did you play it?
I didn't. It was announced during the State of Play, wasn't it? Which was the day after we recorded last week.
Correct. Yeah. So basically, the premise of it is it's like a post-apocalyptic zombie world.
Yeah.
And you're roving the world around on a motorcycle called, what's his name? I think his name's called Deke. I think that's his name. Oh, Deacon St. John. Yeah, Deke for short. Yeah, that's right. And your motorcycle is your primary method of getting around, and it requires fuel. So you can only go so far as the fuel takes you, and you have to refuel your motorcycle. It's really crazy, but it actually works. And it's an open world game, and there's these zombie hordes that appear every so often, and they're like hundreds of zombies like running at you, and you can't really defeat them early on in the game because you just haven't got the weapons. But having a remaster, it's going to cost £10 to upgrade if you've got the PS4 version, which I do have. I may play the remaster, but I played the game and I platinum it, so there's no real incentive for me, other than it's the PS5 version, to play it again.
Mm.
Although I just have all the DLC as part of it as well, which I didn't get, so that might be a reason, but I don't think it's enough of a compelling reason for me to go back and play a remaster of a game I played 5 years ago. Yeah.
I mean, if I remember right, this is the one that the PS4, the base PS4 anyway, really struggled to run it.
Really struggled with it, yeah. I think I did play it on the Pro. I didn't play it on the base PS4. Because yeah, it really struggled on the base PS4. It would play, but really the performance was quite bad. Yeah, right. And it's a Sony exclusive as well. It didn't come out on Xbox.
No.
It's worth playing if you've never played it before. If someone's interested, I would say I would recommend playing it, but not at the price that they're asking for. I think it's going to be £50. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. Release it at £30 and loads of people will buy it.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost getting to Nintendo-like prices for old games. It's not far off. So
absolutely, yeah. If you've got the PS4 version, you probably already played it. So if you want the latest version, the PS5 version, it's only going to cost you a tenner. But
did they put the PS4 version on PS Plus?
Yeah, but you can't upgrade the PS Plus version.
And
that's Sony being Sony again. If you've got the PS Plus version, you cannot upgrade to the PS5 version. It will not let you. You have to have the original PS4 version, digital or physical. Yeah.
Okay.
I think they did that with a couple of other games as well, where they wouldn't.
Yeah.
I think Final Fantasy Remake was one of them.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let you do that through PS Plus. But Sony will be Sony. Yeah. Next, we've got what we've been playing.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
I'll go first. I've been playing quite a lot of Lies of P. I'm not going to talk about it a load now because we're going to talk about it in Platinum Watch.
Okay.
So I will talk about Avowed. I played that on the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Downloaded it ready to go on, I think it was on Monday, just gone. So that would be Monday the 17th.
Yeah, launch day was 18th, wasn't it?
Launch date was 18th. Booted it up just after 6 p.m. when that was the go live time.
Mm-hmm.
And day one update.
Yeah.
Took about 10 minutes to download and install. And then I played 5 hours of it.
Oh, nice.
I played quite a bit of it. It's good. It's really good. It looks quite nice. It defaults in quality mode, which is 30 frames per second. So
you want to change it to performance.
Yeah, change the performance mode. I prefer the 60 frames per second, even though the graphics don't look quite as sharp, but I'm fine with that because I'm running around most of the time anyway. The tutorial is pretty good. It gets you into the game pretty quickly. There's quite a big, long cutscene at the beginning. Trying not to spoil anything here because it is such a new game. You basically start on a beach. That's where you start. And then you're told about the name of the continent, which escapes you for now.
Living Lands?
Something like that. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. And you make your way to the first settlement, speak to some NPCs, get some side quests. It's very Skyrim-like. And that's what I can equate it to. You know, the side quests pop out. Yeah, there's a main quest line that you can go to. It also reminds me a little bit of the traversal in Dying Light, which is the first person kind of parkour almost.
Yeah.
Which you did do in Skyrim as well, I suppose, but not to an extent of this. You can literally hop round on top of buildings and you can go into caves and stuff.
So it
is really good. I've really been enjoying it.
I've been playing a bit of this as well. I don't think I've played as much as you have. I'm level 5. I also tried it in third person to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Played, you know, the bit you mentioned about the beach. I played it until as far as you get to the boat.
Yeah.
You've got that last that you have to try and get her out of the prison cell. Although I think you can just leave her there to rot in the cell if you
can. There is that option. I released her. I let her get out.
Yeah, no, I got her out as well. Yeah, I only sort of played until you get off the boat on the other side in third person. Didn't get to play it yesterday at all because I had a few things on. And then I played it again some more today and swapped it straight to first person. And I think you can definitely tell that it was designed, like the combat, in particular, was designed for the game to be played in first person.
Definitely.
It feels kind of clunky in third person. Have you tried it in third person?
I didn't even bother with third person, purely because it's an old game now, but I've tried Fallout New Vegas in third person, and that was atrocious.
Right, yeah.
Same
people, Obsidian.
Yeah, the Outer Worlds as well.
Yeah.
I tried that in third person, and no. It doesn't work well. They're designed to be first-person games.
Yeah. Sure. It's just also a lot more immersive, I think, in the first-person. So having gone to first-person, I don't see myself going back to third-person again.
No, definitely not.
And then you meet Kai, who becomes one of your companions.
Yep.
And it's the voice of Garrus from Mass Effect.
Recognized him immediately.
Yeah. So as soon as that happened, I was like, that's cool. I like that.
There's a few voices of NPCs I've actually recognized.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize it was a silent protagonist, though. I thought you actually had a voice, but you don't.
No, I mean, but it's quite dialogue heavy.
Mm.
And so it does that sort of, if you call it a Zelda type thing, where you pick sort of things to say on the screen.
That's right.
That apparently you are saying to the NPC you're talking to, and then they reply to you, you know, actually voice acted. But then if you have to reply to them again, like you say, you still don't actually say anything. You just,
I mean, Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas were exactly the same.
Mm.
And I'm trying to remember, I think The Outer Worlds was the same as well. I don't think he had a voice protagonist in that, that I remember. Like you say, because it is quite dialogue heavy, and most NPCs have a voice. Your protagonist probably doesn't need one. Yeah. They did, in Fallout 4, your character could speak. You did,
right.
Because they changed the dialogue options in that to something a little bit different. But that was Bethesda, not Obsidian.
I'm not a Fallout guy, but from what I've been told, isn't Fallout 4 got massively simplified dialogue compared to the previous games?
Absolutely, it has. Mm. Absolutely. The thing they did with Fallout 4 was it was a lot to do, but it was in a much more condensed area compared to Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas. Mm. And the dialogue options were very much simplified. That was a choice that Bethesda made, I think, when they programmed that game. Mm. Because you can't help but compare this game of ours to Skyrim, really. And that's its nearest comparison, I would say.
I mean, in theory it is, but I think it's a lot smaller in scope. I think Avowed is about 40, maybe 50 hours if you want 100% of it.
Yeah.
There's Skyrim, in theory, you can play for like 500 hours, can't you, without even finishing the main story?
Yeah, I think to get the platinum on that, I think I played it for 150 hours, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I played it before, so I knew pretty much what I was doing and where I was going. But yeah, it is smaller in scope than Skyrim, for sure. It's more condensed world.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can see myself putting a lot of hours into it, probably completing it. I'm not going to commit to it because we'll talk about that in a minute. Mm. But yeah, I've been really enjoying it. If you've got Xbox and you've got a Game Pass, definitely recommend it. Does it work on the S, or is it just on the X that it's for?
Oh, I think it's on the S as well.
Yes, it works on. So if you've got an Xbox Series S, definitely worth playing, and on an X as well. And it's on PC as well, isn't it?
Yep.
So yeah, any of those platforms, definitely recommend playing it for sure. Shame it's not on PlayStation.
Mm.
One of them, innit? Maybe
it is. I mean, you might stick it on PS5 in 6 months or a year's time. Yeah,
probably PS6.
Well, yeah, potentially. From what I've heard, the PC version has got a few more technical issues.
They always do. It's because I think they primarily want to get it working well on consoles, because that's just their primary market. Mm. And then PC's like an afterthought almost.
Mm.
But So, have you been? What else have you been playing?
So yeah, so I've been playing Avowed. I won't touch on it for very long, but I've carried on in my save for Manager 24.
Right. So
I've still been playing that for my sins.
Yep.
Were
you 500 hours into that now? Something like that?
Oh, something like that. Something ridiculous, yeah. And that's just on... The worst thing is that the 500 hours you saw was just on the Switch version. I'm playing it on the Xbox at the moment.
How many hours are you into the Xbox version?
Oh, I don't want to look. I don't know.
Well, you enjoy it. Why not?
Yeah. It's something I can play it. If I'm listening to podcasts, I can do that while I'm playing Football Manager.
Yeah, of course.
I haven't got many other games I can play while listening to podcasts.
No.
Without sort of feeling that I'm losing out on something. So I don't play anything that's like heavy dialogue or, you know, needs fast reflexes while I'm listening to a podcast. So Football Manager is good for that. I did go back to the Wild beta. I know we played it the weekend before last.
Yep.
You didn't actually go back to it the second weekend.
I didn't go back to it in the end, no. I just didn't get around to going back to it, yeah.
So when I went back to it, my mission was to beat Arkveld, which was the very, very hard, not the Ray Dow that we kept losing to, but the one that's one step up again that me, you, and Kyle got absolutely obliterated by.
Is that the big, flying dragon-type creature?
Yeah, the Viking-type thing with, the crazy explosions and stuff, like a million tentacles. The one that you get five carts or lives for him. And when I went back to it, I actually found a decent
couple of randoms, a team of three of us, instead of, we didn't even have the whole four, and we didn't die, or I think I died once, but I think we used up two of our five carts and still had three left, but we didn't do it because they have artificially inflated the difficulty by giving you only 20 minutes for him. Oh. The standard is 50 minutes.
Right.
So we had him limping, and he'd gone back to his little sort of den thing, and we were trying to finish him off, but we ran out of time.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And then I tried it once more, I think the day after that, and had the same problem. Like, again, got him to, like, very near to death, but ran out of time.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I was like, balls to this. I think I'll wait till the full game and actually fight him with the normal. I think if I had the 50-minute time limit as standard, like you do for everything else, would have beaten him no problem.
Yeah, yeah. But, so yeah. You haven't got long to wait. There's that week on tomorrow, isn't it? 28th?
Yeah, it's 8 days. Not I'm on countdown or anything.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing I should probably mention with Avowed. As much as I'm enjoying Avowed, and it hasn't probably got his claws into me yet, there's a high possibility that Avowed is just going to end up being my stopgap until a certain game comes out on the 28th, and then I'll probably drop Avowed like a stone.
Yeah,
and then, I have to remember or remind myself to actually try and go back to it potentially, but Wilds will have all my attention.
I think Wilds will have your full attention for at least the next couple of months, probably.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fair. Have you taken some time off work to play it?
I have got a week off, but
yeah, awesome.
But other than that, I haven't really got anything else much I've been playing recently.
Okay, yeah.
So, are we moving on to Retro Corner?
Yeah,
we'll come back to Liza P during Platinum Watch.
Yeah, during the Platinum Watch, yeah, Retro Corner. I'll go first on this one, yeah.
Cool.
So, I played a little game called the Minish Cap Legend of Zelda on the Game Boy Advance SP, specifically SP. That was a great little console, that was. Little clamshell console, fit it in your pocket.
Yes,
and crucially,
had a backlight.
Yeah, backlight.
The original Game Boy Advance screen didn't have.
That's right.
I have still got a Game Boy Advance SP. It's unfortunately not the original one I had. The original one I had, I think I took it to Australia with me when I went, because I went in like 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at some point when I came back and I'd moved on to the DS, I was a bit short on cash and ended up selling the original one for like, I think I got about 40 quid for it.
Oh, that's a shame.
But, you know, I've still got a SP that worked at least. But yeah. I never played Minish Cap.
You didn't really play it? Okay. No. So it was the only Zelda game that came out on the Game Boy Advance, as far as I know. So the Minish Cap, in the timeline, I think it's between Skyward Sword and the Four Swords.
Right.
That's where it is in the timeline of Legend of Zelda, because the game releases, the timeline's all over the place.
Oh,
that's where it sits. Yeah, that's where it sits in the timeline. And I played it mostly on my commute into London and back.
Nice.
So we're going back to, what was it, 2004, I think it came out. So yeah, 21 years ago. Mm. And yeah, I mostly played it on there. It had the little port at the front for the little adapter to put your headphones in, so I could play with my headphones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like 3 hours a day, because it's an hour and a half each way commute playing it. And yeah, it was a really good little game.
Mm.
The premise is that Link finds this hat that can shrink him down to a very small size, and he meets this race of people called the Picoteau, but they're also known as the Minish,
right?
And that's where the Minish Cap comes from, because the cap is actually, it talks to you, and it turns out the cap was actually a wizard who got tricked into being turned into this cap by his apprentice, who's the main antagonist of the game. So it all kind of ties together. Really good little game. It's actually a prequel, which I didn't know this, of the Four Swords, which came out on the DS, I think. So it's a prequel to that, and it shows how the Four Swords got made, because you have to go and get four of the elements in the game to make the Four Sword to beat the antagonist. Right. So that's a clever little thing there. But really enjoyed that game. One of the best games I played on Game Boy Advance, along with Metroid Zero Mission.
Right.
That was really good on the SP.
So Zero Mission is a remake of...
Remake of the first one, yeah. The
first Metroid game, yeah.
Yeah, and also Metroid Fusion on Game Boy Advance as well. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed those games. But the Minish Cap, yeah, a really enjoyable game. I don't think there's any other way... I don't think you can play it on the game on the Switch Online. It's not on the Switch Online. Can you?
If you've got the expansion pass,
yeah,
it's on the Game Boy Advance app on that.
Oh, God, I'm going to have a look at that. Because that's how I've got that. I didn't know. Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to have a look at that. That's cool. Because I wouldn't mind playing it on the Switch. It'd be quite cool playing it on the Switch.
Nice.
But yeah.
I think you finished it.
I did finish it, yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I can't remember how long it took me. Like, probably a couple of weeks just playing it on the train. Where, you know, which isn't bad, really.
But, I think, yeah. So my friend Stu, who lives in the Netherlands these days, he and I got Game Boy Advance SP at launch, and I think, if I remember right, they released the Game Boy Advance port of A Link to the Past at the same time as the SP.
I believe they did, yes.
So I think we both bought that, and I played a bunch of Link to the Past Game Boy Advance version on my SP, but never played Minish Cap.
No, Link to the Past on the Game Boy Advance would be really cool, but I don't think I ever played it on the Game Boy Advance. I played
it. It's got a couple of improvements, so it's marginally different from the SNES version, but not massively, to be honest. And I don't think I finished it on the SP. I think I got quite far. I was on the Dark World.
Yeah.
I can't remember which temple I was on, but I do remember for some reason I put it down, didn't go back to it.
Yeah, that was my first Zelda game, A Link to the Past.
Yeah, me too, on the SNES.
Yeah, yeah, really good. I played it when I was at uni. I played the Link to the Past more than I did my uni work. More interested in than the uni work.
Yeah, I think I was 12 when Link to the Past came out. I did finish it, but it took me a while, I think.
I was 18 when it came.
All right.
I didn't play until I went to uni when I was 20. So that's when I actually played. What's your retro game this week?
So mine this week is Crash Dummies on the original Game Boy, you know, in the green screen.
Yep.
Tints of green, no color, whatever it is, which was by LJN and released in 1993.
Wow.
And this was one of a handful of Game Boy games I had. I think original Game Boy, I had like maybe 6 games in total by the time I didn't really use it anymore. So I didn't have masses of games for that console. But I think this game, so first of all, LJN get a bad rap, don't they, of being like developers of bad games.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And I think this is the first game that I ever played that was like a mini game collection. So it's a bit random. Like, admittedly, I'm going on memory, but I think the first level you have to jump out of a building out on the top floor,
right?
And like parachute down to the bottom and hit the target at the bottom. You have to like hit, you have to hit like, I think it's like washing or something that people got hanging out to dry. You have to hit some of them on the way down, and there's some other like things that make you bounce back up again, and then you have to try and hit the target at the bottom. It's a really random game because I remember, like, you think if you hit the target, you're all good to go each time. But sometimes you'd hit the target and it would work, and sometimes you'd hit the target and you'd still fail. So I still didn't 100% understand as a kid. I remember, like, I haven't played it for years, but I didn't really understand why, like, what the failure and pass success chance thing was all about. And then I think the second level was a driving level where you'd drive a like a beetle, you know, like a Herbie style beetle, and crash it at the end of the level. And then the third level you were skiing, ski down a mountain. Fourth level was like a little mini game with like conveyor belts, so you had to like break the dummy parts. And there was also bombs. And if you didn't break the bombs before they got to the bottom of each one, if it happened too many times, it blew up too much of a... There was like three different things with things coming down, three different conveyor belts.
Yeah.
You didn't stop enough of the bombs and the conveyor belt blew up
that would make you fail.
Yeah,
I remember that. And then the final level was you're in a rocket. I remember it was really hard to control this rocket. I just couldn't. I tried the life out, you know, much as I tried, couldn't get to the end of the last level successfully.
So you never actually completed it?
No.
Oh.
So I got close, got to the last level,
yeah,
but couldn't actually do the last level in the rocket.
Wasn't it multi-platform?
It was. I think it was on the NES and the SNES.
I think a version came out on the Amiga, you know.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. Oh, that's something that reminds me. So from last week, we got a correction that I was going to mention. And just to point out that as much as we do have, I would say, decent gaming knowledge, especially between the two of us,
yeah,
we're not infallible. We'll get
We're definitely not.
We have got things wrong in the first five episodes before this episode, and we'll probably continue to get things wrong. But I think we said Conan Fodder was not on PC, and it was on PC. There was an MS-DOS version.
Right, okay.
So there you go. There's a correction for last week. But
yeah.
We have got things wrong, and we will continue to get these wrong.
Yeah, so no doubt we will. I mean, you know,
feel free to correct us if you notice things that that we've got
some
wrong.
Of these games we talk about, you know, have come out multiple decades ago.
Yeah.
So the Incredible Crash Dummies apparently came. That's not the one we're talking about, is it? That's
it is. Yeah.
It is that one? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that did come out on the Amiga and on the Master System and the Mega Drive and the NES and the SNES as well and the Game Gear. It says here. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so I thought it was multi-platform.
Yeah. Did you ever play on Amiga?
No, I don't think I played. I knew about it, but it's not one that I played.
Right.
Yeah, so I did know about those games. I thought it was multi-platform, but yeah, that's a good one.
So yeah, it's one that I have memories of. I don't know how easy it is to play these days because it's definitely not on the Game Boy app on NSO. So if you really want to play it, emulating is probably your only option.
It's probably your only option, isn't it? Yeah, that's true.
There's not any like collections or anything like that I know of that is on.
No.
There's not any LGN collection. Because they are much maligned.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I understand, LGN was like a subsidiary of Acclaim, wasn't it?
I believe it was, yes.
It all sort of started to get around. Nintendo had these rules back in the NES days where you can release, is it 6 games a year?
Something
if
like
you're
that.
Third party.
Yeah.
And so to try and get around that, so they wanted to release more games, you make a subsidiary and release them under that because Konami did the same. I forget what their subsidiary was called, but Ninja Turtles game on the NES was made by Konami but released under their subsidiary, whatever they're called.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Just a way around of releasing more games, wasn't it? Yeah. So I think we're going to move on to Platinum Watch. So I am actively working towards my next Platinum, which is Lies of P.
Nice.
So I've got 26 out of the 43 trophies at the moment. Okay. I started a new playthrough after the new DLC trailer dropped. That's what inspired me.
Overture.
Yes, the new DLC is coming out summer this year, and I was like, Lies of P, I really enjoyed that game. I'm going to go back and platinum it.
Yeah.
So I started a whole new playthrough. I haven't got any more trophies yet. The last trophy I got on this game, the 5th of October 2023, that's the last trophy, which was I completed the game that day.
Yeah.
That's the last trophy that I got. So I haven't got any new trophies yet, but I'm actively working towards it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the trophies that are left that I've got to get are the different endings that you've got.
Yeah.
I only got two of the trophies for the different endings. I think I've yet to get there's another two trophies that I've got to get. You've got to get all the weapons, which I didn't do in the original playthrough.
Right.
So various collectibles and stuff that you've got
to get. Yeah, I think, you know, the music, the records.
Yes.
I think you have to get all of them.
You do, including the golden ones as well, which requires a whole other playthrough in New Game Plus.
Right.
So, yeah, that's something to look forward to, New Game Plus. I very rarely play a Souls game on New Game Plus. The only one I've done it on really was Dark Souls Remastered because I got the Platinum for that, and you have to do 3 playthroughs of the game.
Yeesh.
Zio, including at least, I think I did, yeah, I did New Game Plus and New Game Plus Plus. So yeah, you have to do that. But you can basically run through the game in New Game Plus in Dark Souls 1.
Yeah.
And you can just run through and just make the checkpoints, kill the bosses, and get to the end of the game and choose a different ending. That's what it's for. Yeah. But yeah, Liza P, if you've not played this game and you're a Souls fan, you need to play this game.
I agree. I think it's the best Souls-like, you know, that's non-FromSoft.
Yeah, definitely. I think what's good about it is they take the Pinocchio lore, if you want, or base it on the Pinocchio book, which I actually, I've never read the book. It's an old book. It came out in like 1885. So, you know, 150 years ago, more than. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an old book, but it's quite a dark book. If you read the synopsis on Wikipedia, there's a lot that happens to Pinocchio in that book. He gets, you know, a lot of bad things happen to him. So on the basis of that, they based this, you know, on that book. And it's really well done. The music is excellent.
Yes.
The boss fights are pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of the boss fights frustrated me. Although I haven't done the hidden boss, which I'll have to do to get one of the endings.
Yeah.
I will have to do that. Mm-hmm. The weapon versatility, or the amount of weapons that are in the game, is huge.
Yeah, and you can also craft your own.
Yes, yeah, which is really good. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of you collecting souls in this, you collect Ergo, because all the puppets release Ergo when you kill them, and you can find Ergo lying around the world as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, everything about it, I don't think I had any criticisms of it, really, from my original playthrough. Excuse me.
I'm trying to think, there's a developer called NeoWiz.
That's right, that's correct, yeah.
And they're Korean.
Yep.
And Liza P was their first console game.
Yeah, and what a game for a first
console game. Yeah, it's extremely polished for a first game. There is an argument that it's sort of Pinocchio cross Bloodborne.
I mean, there is a Bloodborne vibe about it.
Yeah, there's definitely a Bloodborne influence.
Yeah, I think it's differentiated enough from Bloodborne to be its own thing, I would say.
Yeah, well, it's more story focused than a FromSoft game would be.
Definitely.
Like a lot of cutscenes.
I think the story actually takes front and center of this game.
Yeah.
You know, the obviously the combat's there and the boss fights are there, but the story is very much more involved than a Souls game, because a Souls game is very cryptic in the way that it presents its narrative to you, but this is very much up front, you know. And seeing that DLC trailer again inspired me to go for the platinum, so I am currently on a platinum run for it. I think it was going to take me a while. If I'm playing Avowed as well, I might have to either juggle them or just concentrate on one of the other.
Yeah.
So there might be a few episodes where I'm talking about Lies of P and my platinum, how many trophies I've got to get.
It has like a morality meter, doesn't it, where you sort of choose whether you lie.
Yeah, you can choose to lie or not. I think if you lie, then it increases your humanity, which you need for one of the endings.
Yeah.
If you choose not to lie, or, you know, it, one of the other endings plays out. So, there is that morality mechanic in it as well, yeah.
But it's, so I actually have played through this game twice, but
yes.
I'm not the platinum or anything like that.
No.
And I beat it the first time, didn't do the secret boss, then played all the way through it again on New Game Plus with the intention of beating the secret boss second time round to get the achievement from that. And when I got to him, I couldn't do it.
Oh, because it was on New Game Plus.
Yeah. Right. Like, so just be prepared that when you get New Game Plus, there's like a 40% jump in difficulty over the first playthrough.
Yep.
And it got to the stage where, even though I found a little bit where I like to try and like farm to try and level, doing that wasn't making any difference anymore.
I could
get to like max level if I wanted to, and I still couldn't beat this final boss, the secret boss.
You had your weapon up to the maximum that you could go as well.
Yeah. I also like
you then.
it's a bind, mate. To be honest, I think I banged my head against him for about a week and a half on New Game Plus. I think we spoke about it a little bit at that time, and I was certain that at that point I was going to do it, and eventually just got to say, just like, I've had enough of this. But
yeah,
I would try it like an hour and a half, die about a million times, couldn't do him, and was just like, no.
Yeah.
One thing, the couple of things I remember about this game, you've got your throwables.
Yep.
And if you are struggling with a boss, your throwables are generally the way forwards.
Yeah, the throwables are really overpowered in this game. It's
yeah. So, like, for your first playthrough, they're definitely good. Even the throwables weren't helping me for this secret boss, by the way. He's so fast on New Game Plus.
I have seen some clips of the secret boss.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I would, if I were you, I would do the secret boss in your first playthrough so he's out of the way.
That's what I'm intending to do. Yeah. That's the way I'm going to go, yeah.
The other thing I remember, you've got your arm that you can sort of change. You get like different sort of sub weapons.
Yeah, you get like a flame one, an electric one, one where you can fire a hook. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fire a hook one is all a bit Scorpion get over here vibes.
Kinda.
And you can upgrade them as well.
Yeah.
And so if you max out the Scorpion one, once you get your hook into them, you do this like sort of flip type thing up into the air and then come down with an attack.
Yeah,
I pretty much just used that most of the game. Apart from the odd, there was the odd boss that was like susceptible to, like you say, like flames or electricity. So I'd swap it out to help with that particular boss.
Yeah,
get him done.
Yeah.
Then as soon as I was done with that and onto the next area, I was back to the Scorpion one again. I pretty much used that for the entire game.
Yeah, if it works, it works. Mm. I mean, there's three main enemy types in the game as you're wandering the world. You've got the puppets, which are susceptible to electricity.
Yeah.
You've got the corpses, which are susceptible to fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the human characters, which are susceptible to poison.
Yeah.
So they're like your three main things, three main enemies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm enjoying playing it again, even though I'm doing a platinum run. It is an enjoyable game to play. And I remember enjoying it at the time. You played it on Xbox, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. It was on Game Pass.
It was on Game Pass. It's not on Game Pass anymore, is it?
No, I think they've taken it off now, but it was on Game Pass on day one, so I didn't have to pay for it. So that's why I played it on Xbox.
Yeah, I think I bought the digital version on PlayStation 5.
Mm.
So that's I also got access to the PS4 version as well, because you get both versions. So
yeah.
I could play it again on PS4, but I probably won't.
No.
And
I remember the big bad, I guess, is the penultimate boss, because he's the one before the secret boss.
That's right.
And then the one before the big bad, if you remember her,
yep.
You fight her at the top of the tower. I thought she was the hardest boss in the entire game.
I'm trying to remember now.
Well, until I get the secret boss anyway.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember now. I remember the guy that we're talking about, I think...
She's got like a knight type.
Yes, she was pretty hard. I think she probably was the hardest boss. But the hardest enemy type for me was that clown with the boxing glove.
Oh my god! Blind. Again, just
I died so many times. To him.
Use your throwables on him till you've got none left, and then just kill him with the last bit of his health.
I died so many times.
He's like a mini boss.
Yeah.
He's completely optional. You can just run past him if you want to.
I didn't want to run past him though. I want to kill him.
I mean, I think you come across him twice, don't you?
You do come across him twice in the game.
Yeah.
But once I defeat him once, I'm like, good, I hope I never see him again. And I saw him again, I was like, I'm looking forward to a new game plus to the playthrough to see how hard it actually is.
No,
Yeah, I think that leads us nicely into our actual topic for this week, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is the first Souls game or Souls type game
Souls
that we actually played, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
As I've been talking about Lies of P for 10 minutes, I'll let you talk about your one.
Okay, well, my first ever Souls game was Dark Souls 1 on Xbox 360.
So this wasn't the original Souls game, was it? Demon's Souls was the first one.
Yes.
This was the first Dark Souls game.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Demon's Souls was a PS3 exclusive. I didn't have a PS3.
Yeah.
And Sony also owned the IP of Demon's Souls, which is why they got Bluepoint to do their remake for the PS5 launch.
Yeah, good remake as well.
Yeah. So there's an argument that Demon's Souls was like the proof of concept that Miyazaki wanted to make this game, and then they did Dark Souls so that it would be FromSoft's game
and got Bandai Namco to publish it.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a weird one. So the Dark Souls 1 level design is very highly regarded.
Yeah.
And I think it's treated a bit like it's an open world game because of how interconnected it is.
It's very interconnected, isn't it? Yeah.
But it's not actually an open world game. It just sort of feels like it is.
Did you play... You didn't play this on launch originally, did you?
Not at launch.
No.
But probably within a year.
Okay.
Of it coming out. Because it came out in 2011.
Yep.
I think I played it in 2012.
Right.
And I remember I put about 25 hours into Dark Souls 1. And I got as far as the depths. Which, if you've played Dark Souls 1, isn't really 25 hours into the game.
No.
But having never played any game of this type before, I think I was quite vocal with how anti-Dark Souls I was back at the time.
Right.
Because I was like, fuck this game. They're just brutal. They're punishing. There's no point, blah, blah, blah. And my nemesis in Dark Souls 1 that made me quit the game are the sodding basilisks, which are still in Souls games to this day. I mean, to be honest, they're not as bad now. They brought them back in Dark Souls 3, and they brought them back in Elden Ring as well.
Yep.
And as much as they still make me shudder when I see the damn things, they're nowhere near as bad in the modern games as they were in Dark Souls 1 in the depths.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you don't know, the basilisk's thing that they do is curse. And when curse kills you, when the bar fills up, it's like a status effect, when it kills you, when you revive, your health bar has halved.
That's right, yeah.
And the only way you can get your whole health bar back is from a certain NPC who is not in the area where the basilisks are.
No.
The basilisks are in the depths, which is like sewers type area.
Yeah.
And then had to get myself out of the depths, which is easier said than done with half a health bar, to where this NPC is to buy this item that he sells that uncurses you to get your whole health bar back.
Yeah.
Then go back into the depths and try and do it again.
Yeah.
And of course got cursed again, and I ran out of arrows, so I couldn't kill anything from a distance. And I also, the depths is, for someone like me that hasn't got a very good sense of direction, it's very easy to get lost in the depths.
Yeah, easily. It's easy to get lost anywhere in that game, to be fair.
Yeah. And so having fought my way out of there once, got myself uncursed, gone back again, got myself cursed by Basilisk again, and like was looking at having half a health bar again to try and do this area, I was just like, no, I'm done. That was the end of my original Dark Souls 1 run. Having read, I've got a book called You Died, the Tunes and Fairweather people, who are like the publisher who've done a lot of sort of Soulsborne type books.
Mm-hmm.
They've released an Elden Ring one recently, which I really like, if it wasn't 250 quid.
Wow.
Yeah. And the 250 quid version, by the way, is the cheapest version. There's another one that's 500 and another one that's 750. And I've like commented on the page going, I really like this book if you release a more affordable version. Yes, and the amount of people that came after me in the comments were like, oh, if you don't like it, don't buy it.
Well, I won't be buying it because it's too bloody expensive.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I've got this book, and in this book, it's like two authors that wrote this book, and one of them, Kez McDonald, who was the reviewer at IGN at the time. She doesn't work for IGN anymore. But she talks about, she was in this, they call it the Chain of Pain,
yeah,
which was like seven or eight reviewers who'd all been given an early copy of Dark Souls 1, but of course there's no guides out then.
No.
And they were basically all having to help each other play the game pre day one patch. And so if someone figured something out, they would put it in their chain on their email to help the other seven, and they'd all share the knowledge around between them.
Wow, that's cool.
And yeah, in the Chain of Pain, she talks about pre-day one patch for Dark Souls 1, the curse wouldn't just affect you once. So let's say you get cursed by Basilisk, your health bar halves.
Mm-hmm.
And you get cursed again, it halves again.
Oh, no.
You get cursed again, it halves again.
Oh, my God.
Going down and down and down until apparently the limit, the smallest you could get to pre-day one patch, was you could end up with an eighth of a health bar.
Yeah.
So the Basilisk just have to basically breathe on you
and you were dead.
Yeah. or if it just like nudged you against your knee, that you'd be dead. And I would have quit way quicker if that then. Thankfully, Miyazaki saw sense and they sorted it out in the day one patch.
Did the item though that you buy from the vendor, would that restore your full health, or would it just go to the next? It would.
No, it would.
It wouldn't just go
I don't know. Pre-day one patch.
They basically patched that out then, by the sounds of it.
But so Dark Souls 1, apparently the Blighttown area, which of course is the next one after the depths that I got stuck on, the frame rate was horrendous. It dropped
I heard it was really bad on the original. Yeah. Like it was almost game-breakingly bad.
Yeah, like it drops like 10 frames a second. And there's an argument that Blighttown is the worst area in the game anyway, because it's a poison swamp.
Swamp, isn't it?
Yeah. So you basically, your health is sapping all the time while you're at the bottom, and then you have to deal with that at 10 frames a second as well.
Yeah.
Which is far from ideal.
Not ideal.
No. So I only went back to Dark Souls when they released the Switch version.
With the remaster.
Yeah. And the frame rate issue in Blighttown was gone. I think the Switch version runs at 30 frames a second the whole game, but it runs at a steady 30. There's no issues with it dropping or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a joke. So because I was so like anxious about getting back to the depths and having to deal with the basilisks again, I like PTSD.
Yeah.
Flatmate, who had already finished Dark Souls 1, came and sat in the room with me when I got to the depths. And what he basically did, he just sat reading, and he'd look up to the screen from time to time. And whenever I looked like I was going to, because apparently you can get through the depths without actually going anywhere near the basilisks if you don't go the wrong way.
Yep.
Because you fall down some holes to where they are in the sewers and in the depths. So basically, whenever I was getting anywhere near to veering towards a basilisk area, he would look up from his book and go, "No,
not again. Don't go that way."
And he basically just did that the entire time, until I managed to kill off the like wizard or summoner type guy who's above the boss.
Yeah,
because you've got the gaping dragon is the boss of that area, and if he's still there, it's a lot more difficult because you have to dodge him while trying to fight the boss at the same time. So I killed the summoner, went in, did the gaping dragon. It was done onto Blighttown. You have to get down to the bottom of Blighttown, but at least the frame rate wasn't a nightmare.
No.
I think at this point, when I was doing it on Switch, I was doing melee build. So the boss of Blighttown is a big fire spider.
Yeah.
Quilag, with the naked lady torso stuck out the top of her.
That's right.
And she is completely impervious to fire. So in subsequent playthroughs, when I have beaten it again, I've done it as Pyromancer, which is all well and good till you get to that boss. And I can throw fire and this boss is impervious to fire.
Just shrugs it off.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I was doing a strength build on the Switch. I got the, what's it called? It's like a big greatsword. It begins with C.
I know what you mean. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can describe to you where it is. You pick it up off the battlements, don't you, on the castle?
Yeah.
And once I got that, I basically just stuck with that for the whole game.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got past the depths, got past Blighttown, carried on from there. I understand the argument with Dark Souls 1 that the first half of the game is better than the second half of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I like Anor Londo. That's a cool area. I like the what's it called? What's the library area called?
I can't remember the names of the locations.
It's the one that's got the giant boar with the armor on outside. Anyway, I like that area. The boss where it kills you, in inverted commas, because the first time you get to him, which is that dragon, Seath the Scaleless Dragon, the first time you meet him, you can't kill him.
No.
But then at some point after that, you have to do that Tomb of the Giants.
Yeah.
Where it's like pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't already got the helm with the lamp in it,
Yeah.
You have to give up either your sword or your shield to carry your lamp with you.
That's right.
Because otherwise you can't see.
Anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Nightmare. but I remember I summoned Slayer my first ever time that I beat Gwyn.
Yeah.
And the music in that Gwyn fight is the plinky plonky piano sort of bit. They've brought back again in the Dark Souls 3 final boss.
That's right. Yeah.
And people have got quite a lot of nostalgia for it.
Yeah.
So I do get the thing, I say, having beaten that, I've then gone on to like Platinum, Bloodborne, Dark Souls 3, and Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Still never Platinum the first game.
No.
Because it's, over a decade old now, it is quite hard to go back to.
Yeah.
After Derek Killisaw and I played Bloodborne with Disco Beaver, because he'd already played Bloodborne before he got us to play it, we got him to play Dark Souls 3 with us, and we did that. We did all the DLC for Dark Souls 3 as well. Mm-hmm. We did try and get Kyle to go back to play Dark Souls 1, but the multiplayer for Dark Souls 1 is such a load of bullshit and chips that we couldn't really play it the way we were doing the more modern. Yeah,
it's very old in that regard.
Yeah. It doesn't really always work. We sort of take it for granted that if you do co-op in Elden Ring, it just works every time.
Yeah.
Whereas, so Derek Killisaw, I got him into Soulsborne games via Dark Souls 1 on Switch. And when I tried to play multiplayer with him on Dark Souls 1 on the Switch, I think we got it to work once. And the rest of the time, we just sat in a voice chat while he tried to get me in. But Dark Souls 1 got this like crazy mechanic thing, hasn't it? Where you have to be within 10 levels of each other.
Something like that.
And if one of you is more than 10 levels above the other one, it won't work.
No, it's crazy.
It is crazy. And there is what we call the cache point, which is that area in the forest where you have to get the emblem thing to open it. And then there's a bunch of NPC enemies in there that are worth a load of souls. Like, I think they're worth about 1,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit, I don't know if you know the bit of monitor, you go down the steps,
yep.
And then you do an immediate left. When I say immediate left, you have to walk so far into it to get them aggroed so they actually know you're there. But then you run back to this area on just the left at the bottom of the steps and put your shield up, and they will run over the top and then fall off to hit you, bounce off your shield, and then fall off the edge. And so you can get about 3,500 souls by doing that in about 2 minutes. Wow. There's then a bonfire just outside the area. You run back up the steps. The bonfire is behind the invisible wall. So you hit the invisible wall, sit down, cash your souls in, level yourself, go back, do it again, do it again, do it again.
Yeah.
And I had taught Derek about this, and he was mad on the cash point. So he would be however many levels in front of me. So we just couldn't get the multiplayer to work because we were always,
too far apart in levels.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did eventually finish Dark Souls 1, and has then got into the other sort of Souls 1 games off the back of that. So it's worth him playing it.
Definitely.
But yeah, that's the end of my Dark Souls 1 sort of rant, or if you call it that. But yours was a little bit later, but it's a really good first one.
Yeah, so when it came to the Souls games, I was aware of them from the very first game.
Mm-hmm.
And how, they had a reputation for being brutal.
Mm.
So I very much dismissed them because I wasn't really interested. I'd had no interest in them. I remember Bloodborne launching, which is nearly, it'd be 10 years ago at the end of next month since Bloodborne launched.
Yeah.
I didn't see Bloodborne until I went to my brother's house and he was playing it on his PlayStation 4. I said to him, what's this game? This is interesting. He goes, it's a game called Bloodborne. Have you heard it? I said, I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it. And he got to one of the bosses. I can't remember which one it was. It's the one where there's three of them that try to attack you. I can't remember the name of the boss.
Shadows of Yharnam.
That's it, the Shadows of Yharnam. And I was watching him trying to defeat these Shadows of Yharnam, and he tried it multiple times. And he had this thing for his weapon. I think he was playing with the scythe,
right?
Weapon,
mm-hmm.
And it was called fire paper. He's like, just apply this to your weapon, and fire comes on it. I'm like, whoa, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And he was attempted about three or four times. On his fourth attempt, I was watching him, and he killed the Shadows of Yharnam. And he's like, yes!
Yes!
Really cool. I was like, okay, I'm interested.
Yeah.
So I went back home. I stayed at his place overnight. I can't remember why I was staying there, but bought Bloodborne digital version, downloaded it, started playing it. It took me 10 hours to get to Father Gascoigne.
Wow.
Because this is my first Souls game.
Yeah. I mean, he's like the first proper boss. There is an optional boss.
Yeah.
What's he called on the bridge?
Oh, God, yeah.
Beast of... Or something beast.
Yeah, something beast.
Yeah.
Because instead of souls in Bloodborne, it's blood echoes.
Yeah.
Because the idea is in Bloodborne, you are in something called the Hunter's Dream.
Yep.
That's the idea. Mm-hmm. And you have to have like this, you wake up on this like medical bed.
Yeah.
And then that's where you select your character, and you've got, you know, an axe, a sword, a scythe, and one other weapon. I think I can't remember what it is. I think it's the cane. Is it the cane? It's the cane, isn't it?
Is it the cane to start with? I thought the hammer was one of the starting weapons.
Maybe it's the hammer, yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. And you choose your weapon, and you know, and you level up. And I knew nothing about leveling up, dexterity, endurance, you know, I knew nothing about that. I was completely blind way through. So maybe my stats are all over the place. I don't know. Maybe that's why it took me 10 hours to get to Father. Yeah. But once I defeated Father Gascoigne, the kind of game opens up after that.
Really. Yeah.
It very much opens up. You can go in different directions because it's interconnected like Dark Souls is as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's still a FromSoft game.
It's still a FromSoft game, yeah. And yeah, I really like the aesthetic of the kind of gothic, dark kind of late 1800s Victorian London kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. That's what you get from it.
Yeah,
you know. And the NPCs that you fight, like, let's say things like, this damn's finished, and stuff like that. You know, and you're running past them and they attack you. This damn's finished. Like, fucking hell. This game's dark, literally dark. But yeah, I think the Bloodstarved Beast was quite a challenging boss.
Yeah.
Cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most challenging bosses at that time. But I did make it all the way to the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I didn't find the end boss too bad on my first playthrough. I thought the boss before it was worse.
Right. Well, hang on. But when you say end boss, you mean the fella in the wheelchair?
No. So no. I mean the boss that you fight before you go back to the guy in the wheelchair. I can't remember the fucking name of the boss now. Basically, it's supposed to be like the final boss, quote unquote, of the game. Before you, there are other bosses that you can fight after that, but this is like the final story boss of the game, I would say.
Right.
I can't remember the fucking name of the boss. But I remember thinking, oh, that boss wasn't too bad, but the boss before it took me hours and hours and hours. And the names escape me because it's been quite a long time since I played it now. Because I just was happy to make it through the game. I wasn't going for a platinum at that time or anything like that. Because
I wasn't initially when I started playing this.
Yeah. Because the platinum on it is quite tricky because you have to do these things called chalice dungeons.
Yeah.
As part of the trophy set that you have to go through, you have to defeat a certain enemy within the chalice dungeons, and you have to collect a certain item in the chalice dungeons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luckily, I found a guide on it, so I was able to do that. I don't know if it still works. Actually, it must still work.
So the chalice dungeons are like an end game activity that I think you're meant to start. Well, you mean you can start them earlier, but I think the idea is you're supposed to beat the campaign and then go on to chalice dungeons.
That's right. Yeah.
And like I say, Kyle Disco Beaver got us to play Bloodborne with him, having already played it. But the one thing he hadn't done was the chalice dungeons. So his caveat was, I want you guys to play this game, but I also want you to come through the chalice dungeon with me because I haven't got the trophy for that, and it's the only one he had left to get his platinum.
Yeah.
And these dungeons all have different like little parameter things.
Mm-hmm.
There's one dungeon, I can't remember if it's like two-thirds of the way through, where again it halves your health bar for the entire dungeon.
Again, flashbacks to Dark Souls.
Yeah, oh, geez. I mean, there's no Batalus in it, thankfully, but I think there's three floors of dungeon where you've got half a health bar.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah, it was hard.
And took I
managed to solo it somehow. I think I kept replaying that. There was a code for a dungeon that I found in a guide and just kept replaying the same dungeon over and over.
Right. Well, there's so we talk about cash point. There's the Comfup dungeon. Are you aware of that one?
No, I'm not.
Well, it's brilliant. Derek was all over this once he learned about it. So you put Comfup in, which is like C-U-M-F. Comfup. F, I think C-U-M-F-F-P-K or something like that. It doesn't really make sense. It's not really like a proper word. You'd have to look it up.
Yeah.
But you go in there, you walk forward like about 10 paces, and it gives you about like, I don't know, like 50,000 blood echoes or something.
Wow.
So you don't actually have to finish, like, I think the parameters for this particular dungeon are so that it makes your health bar, like, minuscule. Like, it makes your health bar so small that, like, one hit from an enemy would kill you.
Yeah.
But there's something happens to one of the enemies in there when you walk, like, about 2 minutes where it dies and you get, like, 50,000 blood echoes.
You could just farm echoes from that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't completely take away the challenge, but it definitely does make it a bit more bearable and a bit more accessible.
Yeah.
And so when we were getting to stage where we were having to do this half health dungeon, you could farm a bunch of blood echoes from the Comfup one.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, they've all got like points where they sort of stop and they soft caps. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
where the levels don't really help anymore after you've hit the soft cap.
That's right.
So, yeah, well, anyway, we're doing that, and we eventually got through the Charlie's Dungeon to get that trophy that you're on about. There's also the thing, so I watch RKG, who are the guys that used to be Prepared to Try when they were part of IGN, and they do Let's Plays. The original Prepared to Try Let's Play started because Dark Souls 3 was coming out, and one of them had never played a Souls game before, and the challenge was to get the guy who was the Souls virgin through all of Dark Souls 1 in the month before Dark Souls 3 came out.
Okay.
And they've just sort of carried it on from there. They've left IGN just to branch out and do RKG by themselves. Mm. And they did a Bloodborne run, and the Flatmate and I watch RKG together. And there's a great bit. Do you remember there's the giant brain?
Yep.
And you have to kill him to get one of the three umbilical cords
that you
need to unlock the secret boss for that particular ending.
Yeah. Right.
So Rory, who's the guy who always plays while the other two give him advice and watch, did a he's got a thing about that, you know, the stones, what we call them, the little stones that you can put down that are multicolored.
Yeah.
People put down in if you get invaded just to show that you're not going to attack and you're going to be friendly.
Yeah.
Instead of killing the brain, he put a bunch of stones down around the brain, danced around it, and then left in his first playthrough. And that one act of inverted commas kindness then meant they had to do an entire second playthrough of the game.
Oh my god,
to kill the brain to get the umbilical cord that you need.
Oh my god,
their ending.
How pissed off would you be?
Yeah,
but no, yeah, Bloodborne was a really exciting game to play as a first Souls type game.
No, it's great.
Yeah, I did enjoy playing through it. I think I chose the axe as my first weapon just because you could transform the weapons. You can transform each weapon has two states that you can transform between.
Yeah, it's quite interesting in the three or four starter weapons. Unlike a lot of other Soulsborne games, the starter weapons in Bloodborne are all decent enough that you can just keep. So I chose the cleaver.
Yeah,
and I was saying to Kyle, like, do I need to get a better weapon than this at some point? He's like, no, if you like that, you can just keep upgrading it.
Keep leveling up. Yeah, I used the axe the entire way through the game.
No, I just used the cleaver, and that was it.
Yeah, and upgraded it to the max before I got to the end boss. And yeah, it's the leveling up mechanic is that way. You go to the doll in the hunter's dream.
Yeah,
that was a very clever way of doing it. And you know, the landscapes are, is that one of the only Souls games that I've played where the enemy types are actually quite freaky. I mean, you've got the big pigs that run at you.
Yeah.
Really weird. And you've got those guys with like big, like magical electrical sticks that they look like they're half, yeah, half man. It's, I mean, it's really freaky.
It's almost a horror game.
Almost, yeah.
It's Lovecraftian-esque, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
Like in the same way that Eternal Darkness is Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
It's definitely got some Lovecraft influence,
yeah,
in there. There is the thing that I noticed. So the first time round that I played this with Kyle, I still had my plasma Panasonic Viera, which is like 1080p, and it played fine. It still had the atmosphere. It was good. If you, I've played it again since then in 4K, and playing it in 4K ruins it.
Oh, really?
Because it's far too bright.
Yeah.
It no longer has the, like, the atmosphere and the dripping horror,
yeah,
that it had the first time around when I played it.
Yeah.
Because when you play it in 4K, it's all so well lit.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be. That's,
yeah, yeah. So the horror's kind of gone when, yeah, you play it in 4K.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame, really.
Well, there's been rumors for years about a remake and or remaster
or a PC, yeah, version.
You know, it's the 10-year anniversary next month. End of next month, 25th, I think it is, of March.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll get some news?
No. I think for whatever reason, Sony either blind or just ignoring how popular this game is.
Mm.
Everyone, so recently they've been trying to protect the IP by DMCAing things.
Yeah.
So there's that Lance McDonald fella who made a 60 frames per second patch for it, which you need a hacked PS4 to make it work.
Yeah, you've got to basically jailbreak your PS4 to make it work.
Yeah. 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 And they DMCA'd him, so he had to take it down. They also DMCA'd the Bloodborne carts.
What game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they... Did they even do the Bloodborne PS1 demake? That
the demake, on? Yeah, that got, yeah, DMCA'd as well.
Which, like, so, what?
Because they were DMCA'ing things left, right, and center, everyone presumed that that meant that there was some Bloodborne news coming in that state of play you mentioned, yeah, for last week.
Yeah, nothing.
And I sat through all of it. The most excited I got was for the Monster in the trailer, which was right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then got to the end, surprise, surprise, no Bloodborne news. Mm. And I was like,
I think Miyazaki has actually said that, that he would like to do more Bloodborne.
Yep.
He said
it's Sony's IP.
Sony owned the IP.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they developed the game and they're the ones who programmed it, Sony,
yeah,
it just makes me wonder, are they? I don't know. Maybe we'll get something about it. There's
some trailer recently about like PS5 in general, and Bloodborne was like the ending shot with some captions, something along the lines of, it's about perseverance.
Mm.
So again, people put two and two together and got five out of that, that meant that there was going to be some Bloodborne remaster news.
Yeah.
And I just don't think they care.
Don't care enough, do they?
No, it's just...
Yeah.
How many chances have they had?
We just do Lies of P instead.
Yeah. I mean, Lies of P is pretty good. It's not Bloodborne, but it's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
I just... At this point, I'm wondering whether Bloodborne will ever get any sort of sequel, remaster, remake, because every FromSoft game, pretty much, that was older, or the same sort of generation, like Dark Souls 3, for example, released about a year after Bloodborne.
Yeah.
That's got a PS5 upgrade patch.
Yeah.
So if you play Dark Souls 3 now on the PS5, it runs at 60 frames a second.
Yeah.
So to pretty much everything that FromSoft does, like Sekiro, that's also had an upgrade. But Bloodborne still runs at 30 frames a second.
Yeah.
No improvements whatsoever. No improvements.
For PS5. Yeah. No. It's about time. They need to put some Bloodborne love, but
yeah,
it's been nearly 10 years and there's been, you know, so many rumors.
Yeah, and they just never come to anything.
No, they never come to anything, which is a shame.
It is.
Yeah. That was my first Souls experience. And now we're going to move on. Yeah, it was a good one, yeah. And we're going to move on to Hot or Not. And this week, Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes.
Go on then.
So I played this on the Wii U.
Oh my god, you're braver than me.
I think it was one of the launch games that I got with my Wii U.
Wow.
And I have memories of I was going back to Wales to see my family. And of course, this is pre-Switch days. And I took my Wii U with me on the train, had it in my bag.
In your bag, yeah. And
because there's like sockets on the train, I had my console plugged in to the socket, what was in my bag, and then my gamepad out to play Assassin's Creed 3 on the train. I mean, I've since learned that that's really bad for your console. It could have like overheated and I couldn't
overheated, yeah.
By doing that. But yeah, I think I only did about 4 or 5 hours in total.
So did you even get to Adult Connor?
I think so.
Must have done. Maybe just after Adult Connor then. Yeah. I think the first 3 or 4 hours is Haytham and Teenage Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I just got to, like, Adult Connor and was doing some of the missions and stuff. But my main takeaway from Assassin's Creed 3 was after doing all of the Ezio trilogy, Connor is, like, a personality void.
Yeah, he's got personality of a wet sock.
Yeah.
He really has.
Like, Ezio is super charming.
Yeah. Ezio, you know, very charismatic, Italian, yeah. You know, very charming, good to play, you know, funny when he needed to be, heroic when he needed to be, a really good character. That's when they made 3 games with him, because he was such a good character.
Yeah.
And then Connor comes along, and you're like, what?
You're a bit of a damp squib, don't like you.
Well, I think I might have mentioned it on the last episode. I started to play the remaster on PS5, the PS4 version.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing as Haytham. He plays Haytham for the first 3 or 4 sequences, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe the first 3. It's actually really good to play as Haytham. Even though, spoilers, he's a Templar. He's actually quite an intriguing character.
Yeah.
And then you play as Teenage Connor, who is not too bad. But then Adult Connor is just this flat, boring character comparatively, you know. And playing it originally on the PS3, I forced myself to play through the game because it was an Assassin's Creed game. I'm like, it's got to get better. It's got to get better than this. It's got to get better than this. And then I completed it. I'm like, I didn't get any better.
No, I'm not feeling so bad about the fact I ended up sacking it off.
No. I did play the entire thing. I quite like the ship-to-ship combat in it. That's where they first introduced it in Assassin's Creed 3. You can upgrade the ship in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fighting the English soldiers and working through the missions, the actual mission structures were pretty good.
Yeah.
But the story was okay. Connor as a character, not exciting. And the modern day stuff was a bit disjointed. So I guess rather than a hot or not, I'm going to go lukewarm on this one.
Can you do lukewarm?
Well, We set the rules, so I say I say lukewarm.
All right, okay. So, it's a not.
It's
for
a
me.
Not for you. Yeah.
All of the Ezio trilogy I enjoyed, even if the last one is probably the worst one of the three.
Yeah, that tower defense stuff that they threw in there was a bit unnecessary.
The other thing, I think, was the last one called Revelations.
Revelations, yeah.
And he's meant to be like 55.
It's like 52, 53, something like that, yeah.
And he's still scrabbling up over rooftops.
Well, one of the characters actually said to him, because they're having a conversation, and he goes, when I was in Firenze, when I was younger, and the guy says to him, "You were never young."
Yeah.
That's how old he's of the perception that he is. But you're right. Yeah. He's you know, not that much older than I am now. And he's still running across rooftops and stuff. Yeah. So, you know, but yeah, Assassin's Creed 3, definitely lukewarm or not.
Yeah. So all I was going to say about the Ezio trilogy is that of the original three, obviously Assassin's Creed 2 is brilliant. I got 960 achievement points out of 1,000. I didn't get all 1,000 achievement points on 360 because I missed a feather of the 100.
Yeah.
I had 99.
And you couldn't find that one.
No. And so there's one achievement for getting all 100 of them that I missed. And then one achievement for wearing the cape that you get
in each city. 100.
If once you've got all 100 feathers, you get a cape, and you have to wear that cape in every area of the game.
Each city, yeah.
Yeah. And so I didn't get that one either, of course, because I didn't get the cape because I didn't have all the feathers. So that always annoyed me a bit. I did end up, I think at one point, I bought the Ezio Trilogy Remaster with the intention to go back and actually get it again.
Yeah.
And it just never happened.
Still
and
didn't,
It sat there for like a year.
Yeah.
I hadn't played it.
And Assassin's Creed 2 was my first Platinum. And
really?
I got the Platinum again recently.
Oh, right.
Recently, I think I got it back in like July.
Right.
But I planned to do it twice. So nice. Yeah, that was really good. Brotherhood, I intended to Platinum, not originally, but on the remaster. Mm-hmm. And I'm like 85% of the way there, but 85% of the trophies. But one of the trophies is to 100% sync all the memories and the Da Vinci disappearance, which is the DLC. You have to do that as well. And I'm like,
you have to do the DLC for the Platinum. That's a bit cheeky, isn't it?
It is a bit cheeky. But that's because they took the multiplayer trophies out for Brotherhood.
Ah, right.
So they kind of substituted them with the DLC trophies.
Right.
I don't blame them, but I'm close. Maybe I'll go back to it sometime, but you have to get 100% sync on all of those memories. And I'm like, I've got most of them, but
yeah.
There's a tank, believe it or not, a 16th century tank that Leonardo da Vinci designs, and you have to get through that mission, which isn't a long mission. It's less than 5 minutes.
Right.
But you can't get any damage on the tank at all.
Oh, wow.
Which is quite hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hence why I haven't done it.
Yeah, after it sat there for a year, I think I traded in the remaster. I've not got it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I've still got it. I've got it, a disc version, and I've got the PS Plus version. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
So I think I actually enjoyed Brotherhood more than Assassin's Creed 2.
Brotherhood, it was my favourite of the trilogy.
Yeah. And I think the main reason for why I preferred Brotherhood is because you get bitches.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is you'll be like sat on the bench minding your own business, and you're obviously an assassin because you've got the garb. It's the oldest thing that made me laugh that you're supposed to be
can't see you because you're sat between two people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But your garb is such a giveaway. And they all wear it. I was like, how are they not? I don't know, anyway. So anyway, you'd be sat on the bench, minding your own business, and you press the bitches button, and then your team jump in, kill your target, and then jump out again.
Yeah.
And then you can level your bitches up so they get better as the game goes on.
Yeah.
And so they do like more and more extravagant sort of ways of killing your target. While the whole time you just sat on the bench twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah, you just sat there watching them kill people.
Yeah.
Right, we've got another viewer email.
We have.
From Mr. Gary Tanner.
Mm.
Thanks, Gary. Another shout out for you.
Yes. So the only emails we've had from listeners so far are from Gary. So bless you, Gary. Thank you very much.
We appreciate you, Gary, very much. And he actually emailed us in a question. He's put, we have a Switch and a PS5 in our house. My son is 6 and is a keen gamer. We have played a few beat 'em up games together, Castle Crashers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, which we really enjoyed. And more recently, we played It Takes Two, which we both loved. Do you have any recommendations for some good two-player games we can play together? Well, my recommendation is any of the Lego games, if you haven't played those, they are quite a good co-op. The latest one being Lego Horizon Adventures, which is based on the Horizon Zero Dawn game.
Yeah,
that's a really good co-op game to play with a six-year-old, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I'd recommend that one. What about yours, Jeremy? You got any recommendations?
So he mentioned Shredder's Revenge. The same people that made Shredder's Revenge have recently done a Power Rangers game.
Right.
It's of the same sort of genre as Ninja Turtles. I think it's got some extra bits that Ninja Turtles hasn't got. Like, it's some first person when you're inside the, what were they called, the robots, the, is it Megazords or something? I remember.
Something like that.
I
wasn't a massive Power Rangers fan. It was a bit too late.
It was a bit late for me as well. I think it was about 13 when it came out. Yeah. But the Megazord levels, you switch to first person and apparently can be quite tricky. So, you know, your mileage may vary if you're playing that with your little one. But that's supposed to be quite good. I also really like the Scott Pilgrim game. But as you pointed out, it has got some swearing in it. as well as like the characters giving the middle finger and things like that. So maybe wait till he's a little bit older.
Wait till he's a bit older, I would say. But yeah, those are some recommendations you might want to look into, Gary. So thank you for your question. And we've come to the end of episode 6. So yeah, that's the show wrapped up.
We should also mention Gary very kindly, just quickly before we move on, gave us some more artwork that he's done.
You're right. I forgot to mention that. Apologies, Gary. My memory sometimes fails me.
But yeah, that's right.
Thank you for sending in the artwork. We will utilize that on our socials, which you can get us at. I'm at mleach26 on Instagram or Matt Leach1 on Blue Sky.
Yeah.
You can get us at Two Guys Three Consoles on Instagram. And on TikTok, and on Blue Sky as well.
We've got a Discord now.
We have got a Discord,
Very kindly started our Discord for us, got us up and running. So, have we put the link to the Discord onto the socials yet?
I've put it on Instagram, it's in the bio of the Instagram. I think that's the only place that we got it at the moment.
Okay,
I think I will put it in the show notes as well. Put it on the Blue Sky. We're on Discord.
Really, if anyone wants to join the Discord and talk to us about games and come in and do that.
We've got about 15 people on there at the moment. We've got a few people. So, I'm relatively new to the Discord stuff, but I've been told by a few people it's the best way to communicate if you want to talk about, games or anything in general, really. There's lots of different channels on Discord. And so if you want to join ours, please feel free to do so. You can get us at 2guys3consoles@yahoomail.com.
Yeah, that's written.
That's written. So that's the word two, the word guys, the word three, the word consoles, all in one big long chain at yahoomail.com. Have you mentioned your socials? I don't think you have.
So I am J_monster on Instagram and just JMonster without the underscore on Blue Sky.
Nice, cool. Right, thank you very much for listening if you have been doing so,
and
we will see you on the next episode.
Yep, thanks everyone.
Thanks everyone.
Bye.
Bye.